Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I have a pastoral message today. It comes from the Gospels. A pastor's job is to lift up, to allow to see the truth, the reality of God's word. It is not to burden down. I want you to open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll read the words of Jesus, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall have rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to dig in to these words in an attempt to bring understanding, and by the words of Jesus and the meanings thereof, give rest unto your souls. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden." Now, we're going to do some work this morning. So, the word heavy laden in the Greek, the word is fortizo, fortizo. And it means to laid by heavy laden. Properly, to load up a vessel or an animal. Figuratively, to overburden with ceremony or spiritual anxiety. It comes from the Greek word fortos, which means to load up. To overburden with ceremony or spiritual anxiety. Causing someone to be literally weighed down. It means to place a burden upon. To load one with a burden of rites and unwarranted precepts. Heavy laden with burdensome requirements of the Mosaic law and of tradition, and with consciousness of sin. Using Blue Letter Bible, it goes on even further. This word describes an act of placing a load upon someone or something. Though the verb appears only twice in the New Testament, its imagery of burdens helps frame the contrast between oppressive religion and Christ-given rest, illuminating central themes of grace and discipleship and pastoral care. This is what I'm trying to communicate today. The 28th verse says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Here, the perfect participle paints a picture of a people already weighed down by a load they cannot shed. The context links those burdens to Pharisaic yoke and legal minutiae, and to the universal heaviness of sin and sorrow. The only other time the word is used, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, say, "Woe unto you as well, ye experts of the law, ye load men down with burdens they can hardly carry, yet yourselves will not lift one finger to ease burdens." Jesus employs the present tense to condemn a continuing practice, religious leaders adding layer upon layer of obligation while refusing compassionate assistance. An historical and cultural setting, first century Judaism revered the Torah, but increasingly surrounded it with oral traditions later codified in the Mishnah. While intended to fence the law, these traditions often degenerated into intricate weight of do's and don'ts. Rabbis spoke of taking the yoke of the law. Jesus acknowledged that yoke, yet exposed how human additions perverted God's intent. His invitation in Matthew 11 answers the spiritual fatigue produced by such a system, offering a gentler yoke anchored by his own meekness and humility. From one of the commentators, my friend over the years, Barnes, says, "And ye that labor and are heavy laden," the Savior here perhaps refers primarily to the Jews who groaned under the weight of their ceremonial laws and the traditions of the elders. He tells them that by coming to him and embracing the new system of religion, I'd rather say the new system of faith, they would be freed from these burdensome rites and ceremonies. There can be no doubt, however, that he means here chiefly to address the poor, lost, ruined sinner, the man burdened with a consciousness of his transgressions, trembling at his danger and seeking deliverance. For such, there is relief. Christ tells them to come to him, to believe, to faith in him, and to trust him and him only for salvation. Doing this, he will give them rest. Rest from their sins, from the alarms of conscience, from the terrors of the law, and from the fears of eternal deaths. I want to go to some scripture. Peter, in that first council of the church found in Acts 15, says, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which were neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Context. the people of faith versus the people of the law. In Romans 10, Paul speaking, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge," or in this case, to enlightenment. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that faiths." Jesus said that you make void the word of God by your traditions, by your oral traditions, by the, in this, what we read earlier, in the Mishnah, all these traditions of men, which do make void the word of God and lay heavy burdens on God's people. The 29th verse says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Learn of me, Jesus said, for I am meek. Meek, the word in the Greek, the original use of the word comes from training of a wild stallion, not by beating the life out of him, but by causing him to learn there's another in control. Jesus told us that what he did, he learned of his Father. He didn't claim control. He gave control to his Father. And he was, if you will, free. Under that control. And he chose. It says in Philippians 2:6, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." I think there's a better understanding of those words. Thought it not robbery. No. Being in the form of God, it didn't take anything away from God to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Second Peter says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it," King James says patiently, no, the words "enduringly. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it enduringly, this is acceptable to God." First John says, 5th chapter, 3rd verse, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They're not heavy. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Back to this word, this phrase, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." No, humble. Luke 1:52, and he hath put down the mighty in their seats and exalted them of low degree. Same word, humble. Same word. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate," of being humble. "Be not wise in your own conceits." 2 Corinthians 7:6. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down," no, "that are humble, comforted us by the coming of Titus." 2 Corinthians 10:1. "Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base, humble among you, but being absent, I'm bold toward you." First Peter 5:5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace, unmerited favor, to the humble." "For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light." God is not asking any of us to do something we can't do. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "You trust in God," excuse me, "trust also in me." That's the yoke. That's the burden that's light. Now, I would say this after 45 years in this journey of faith, that command grows easier, troubles are a little greater, but the truth is it grows easier as the Spirit of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ takes up their abode in us and kindly and more often comforts us with the words of Christ and the words and promises of God. We can bear those burdens. Not the burdens of ceremonies and rites. not the burdens and ceremonies of so many so-called churches. God's word reigns, not man's. This is a short message, but I hope uplifting, not burdensome to you. I have a note, and I'm really sure that it came from the teaching I was under of Dr. Gene Scott for this passage out of Matthew. And it tells me to go look at the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me." Listen closely. "And eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." It goes on to say, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." God hears the prayers of his children. And we are children of God through Christ Jesus. Let us continue on. Under the yoke, which is easy, of Jesus. And his burden, which is light. Stay in faith, grabbing hold of the promises, not in the sense, or grabbing hold of the promises, which are all in Christ Jesus. As it says, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are in him, and in him, amen. That is no doubt. And that's the God School for today.